Psalms 119. I'm going to start reading here. I want to read verse 9, have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Let's pray. Father, I surely thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. Thank you for that time of fellowship. Thank you for food that you have blessed us with. Thank you for those that are here, those that are on the phone. Lord, I just pray that you would use me today as only you can. Lord, you know the need of every person that's listening. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet that need. I pray, Father, that you would help us to learn from what we're going to read from here in your word. And keep a hedge around us. Keep us safe. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Anyone else hot here? I'm teasing. I'm just picking on Julianne. I think everyone else is comfortable. Yeah. Well, she picks on John, so I figure I'll pick. So anyway, in Psalms 119, so if you remember in Psalms 119, every verse that's in this Bible is the very words of God. Every word that's in this Bible is the word of God. But what you'll find interesting when you're going through the book of Psalms 119, almost all of the verses contain a word that refers to the word of God. So you could see that here at his way, the word, verse 10, which we'll get to, commandments, verse 11, thy word, verse 12, statutes, 13, judgments, 14, testimonies, thy ways or precepts, statutes, verse 16. I mean, and so almost every single verse that you go through Psalms 119, you'll find it. There's only two or three verses that doesn't have something like that. Still God's word. But it's interesting in verse 9, as we're starting the preaching, I guess you could say, in verse 9 it says, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? Now that word cleanse means to make clean. To make clean. Can I tell you that if you are here and you are lost, the reality is the Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of your sin, you are separated from God. And because you're separated from God, what that means is when you die, you'll go to hell. And then one day you'll stand before a great white throne judgment and give an account of your life. And God will show you the opportunities that you had to accept Christ as your Savior. You rejected Him. And then God will cast you into a lake of fire. And that's where you'll spend for all eternity. And you may say, why? Because you're going to pay for your sins. Now, you don't have to pay for your sins. You can repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And God will pay for your sins. But God gives you a choice. You have a choice that's there. So anyway, you think about it. Before you get saved, you can't cleanse your way. Because you're a sinner. The only way to be forgiven is you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. After you get saved, there's a difference between a position. Position means you're in Christ. You have eternal life. Your practice, or the path that we're walking with the Lord, sometimes you will see that in the book of Ephesians, talks about our walk, is your daily living. And in your daily living, we still have to make choices to serve God, to walk in His path. And here it is, he asked the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can you, as a believer, make sure that your way is cleansed, right? As in, the way that you're going would be pleasing to the Lord. How can you make sure the way that you're traveling, that you're keeping sin out? We talked a little bit about that during Sunday school, right? It's always wise when you look at something, what makes it wrong? We did the example, thou shalt not steal. Now, most people know that. We know that you shouldn't steal. Stealing is wrong. Stealing is a sin. But you know what makes it wrong? God said so. That's what makes it wrong. And when you look at the Bible, it's the same. When God says something, that means it's wrong. That means it's sin. Don't try to rationalize, is that word, or try to justify it. Sin is sin. We live in a society today, they don't want to call sin, sin anymore. Well, that person has alcoholism. No, what that person has is they are a drunkard. They are a sinner. Amen? We need to call things for what they are. Here, he's saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He's asking the question, how can you make sure your way is cleansed? That he's not talking about being saved. He's not talking about save as a process. You have eternal life. But how can you keep sin out? He answers it by taking heed. The word heed means to observe. It means to keep. That means to obey, right? To heed. So if you think about the way that you can cleanse your way is to heed or to obey. And what are you supposed to obey? It says, by taking heed or obey thereto according to thy word. What God says is right and what God says is wrong, that's the answer. Amen? If God says this is right, rest assured it's right. When God says this is wrong as sin, rest assured it's sin. And here it is, he's telling us how we can cleanse our way by looking at God's word and taking heed by obeying it, right? You know, it's really not too hard. You know, the walk for the Lord is not a hard thing to do as a Christian. Do you know why it's so hard? Because of our flesh, our sin nature. That's what makes it so hard. You know, you're either feeding the spirit or you're feeding your sin nature. Which one are you doing? If you keep on putting garbage in your head or start listening to that worldly music out there, don't be surprised you're feeding your flesh. Watching things you shouldn't do. Watch. You're feeding your flesh. The reality is this. Stop feeding your flesh. Now, I'm not talking about starve, right? I'm talking spiritually, right? That sin nature that's there. I mean, God has given us His precious word. He has warned us. But you know when the Bible gives us guardrails? Amen? If I can use that. Well, I used to go bowling when I was in college. And we would go down to this place and we'd go bowling, you know. And you know what sometimes what I would do when I would go bowling? I'd roll a ball and I'd get in the gutter, you know. And sometimes I'd roll and get a strike and other times roll and get in the gutter. Do you know they make guardrails for bowling for people? I didn't do that, John. Amen. But they do guardrails. You know what those guardrails do? They prevent you from getting your ball in the gutter. Well, you think about it, that you're really bad, amen, you jump over the thing, then I don't think bowling is your sport, amen. But the reality is this, God's word, you think about it, is a guardrail. It can help you from getting in the gutter, getting in sin. God's word, if you're in it, you read it, understand it, apply it to your heart, can help you to say, hey, there's a verse that's in the book of Romans, it talks about not making a provision for sin. You know, a lot of times people make a provision for sin. Don't stop making provisions for sin. When I was, before I got saved, I used to use that smokeless tobacco stuff. And that's horrible stuff. But I used to use that smokeless tobacco stuff. And I would always tell myself, I'm going to stop using that tobacco, right? We know what's wrong. But anyway, I would tell myself I'm going to stop it. But you know what I would do? John, I would make a provision for it. Because I knew I would have those, you know, I would go through those withdrawals or whatever of having the tobacco and I wanted tobacco. So what I would do is I would go to the store and I would buy a can of the tobacco. And I'd put it in my pocket and say, if I get that urge or that desire for tobacco, even though I'm going to try to stop, I know where it is. You know what I was doing? I was making a provision to do that. Do you know, most times, you know what happened? I would go through that whole can and go buy another one. I can't tell you how many times I said I was going to stop and never stopped. Well, I have stopped, trust me, amen. But what I'm saying at that time, you know what happened? One day I picked up the Bible before I became a Christian, picked up the Bible, started to read the Bible. Something in the Bible convicted me so much. The Holy Spirit probably convicted me and showed me how wicked I was. I took that can of Skoll, I think it was. Took that can of Skoll, opened it up, went to the trash can, and dumped it out. Then I messed it up in the trash can. You know why I messed it up?
So you can't get in there.
Yeah, because you know I was going to have a provision. That's how much I love that stuff. I would have went back there and grabbed that right off. I made a provision. No. I made sure it was covered up. And then, you know, I stopped. I don't know when it was before I became a Christian. I stopped. What I'm saying is, God's word is telling us, if we would just obey it, he's saying, hey, stop making provisions for sin. God will help you. But anyway, he's telling us here, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Are you battling sin? Is there something in your life you just can't get the victory? Well, maybe your problem is this. You're not in the book. You're not spending time in the book. You're not reading the Bible. And then you're not trying to practice it. You know? There's a difference between just reading, absorbing, taking it in, then applying it, right? Before I got saved, you know, I could quote scripture to you. I may have had that head knowledge, amen? Folks, can I tell you, if your desire is to say, I want to get sin out of my life, well, make sure that you're saved, amen? And then what? Start picking up this book and start reading and saying, hey, this is the manual that God wants me to live, amen? Then he goes on and says, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Oh, can I tell you, that's how God wants you to serve him, with your whole heart. There's people that go into marriage, and they go into marriage, and it's like they don't go in with their whole heart in it, right? It's like they have their foot sticking out or whatever. Amen? Can I tell you, when you said, I do, then that's God took you at your word. Amen? Don't put your foot out or trying to get away. No, God said it. Amen? Believe him. Amen? God's, and if you're saying, I don't know, if you're going into marriage and saying, I'm going to have a half foot out, then that means don't marry. Amen? It's best not to marry. Amen? But anyway, what he says, with my whole heart. Whole heart. I meant everything that you got. Is that us? With my whole heart have I sought thee. I mean, is our heart really in it for God? I mean, how much do you love God? I think I told you my friend Dr. Hamlin, he's in heaven now. But they actually put him on hospice. And when they put him on hospice, he was a preacher. And he said, he was telling the Lord, he said, Lord, I just want to preach again. He said, if you allow me to get out of here, I'll just keep on preaching until you call me home. He was on hospice care. He is one of the few people, if not the only person I have ever heard of in my life that I personally know, that got released from hospice care. And God allowed him to go out and preach. And can I tell you, he wanted to preach. He desired to preach with his whole heart. He would be in a wheelchair and they would bring him to wherever the place was. And they'd wheel him up to the place. And sometimes he would have to take medicine or whatever. And he'd get to the place and he'd be like, preacher, I'm ready to preach. And then he would struggle to go to the podium that's there and hold on to the podium and start preaching. And then when he was done, Miss Alma, he would fall back onto his wheelchair and they would wheelchair him out. Can I tell you, he gave his whole heart. No wonder that there was revivals that were happening when he would preach, because people could see something different in that man. This wasn't someone just getting up there and giving words. No, I mean, this was someone giving their whole heart. They knew that, hey, this man loved God. Oh, can we get back to that place in our lives where we would give God our whole heart? Don't have anything. Amen? Nothing should be in front of God. And that's what he's saying. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. He says, let me not wander from thy commandments. Is it really your desire, my desire, to say, I want to keep the very words of God? Is that your desire?
If not, no wonder you don't.
Amen?
Folks, if you think the devil's going to let you alone because you're saved, you're foolish. You don't think the devil knows your inconsistency? You don't think the devil knows that you're not faithful like you should be? You don't think the devil watches? The devil's not going to sit there and be like, so-and-so has a problem. I'm not going to mess with... No! He knows that. He's going to keep on throwing those darts. Folks, what I'm saying is this. There should be a desire in our heart to say, God, I want to keep your word.
Would that be said of us that we'd be people that desire to keep God's word? He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
But he knew that he couldn't do it on his own. He's kind of bringing this request to God and saying, God, please help me. Oh, can I tell you I hate sin? Sometimes I get so mad sometimes at myself, and sometimes I'll say, oh, wretched man that I am. Sometimes I sit there and I get mad at myself or say, Lord, help me. You know? Call, can I tell you, there would be a desire in our heart to say, Lord, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Because we have a sin nature that will help us easily wander. Do you ever try to do something? Do you ever see this? You pick up a book, something you really like, and a lot of times you could sit there and you read that book, next thing you know, you put it down, it's like, whoa, right? Or you pick up a video game, and next thing you know, you look later, it's like, whoa, an hour, 2 hours? I didn't know I played that long. Try to pick up this book once and do that. And see what happens. Oh, could I tell you, the devil doesn't want you to do it. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. You just start spending time and say, hey, like you spend time in a video game and you get concentration. You don't even know anyone else is talking to you. Next thing you know, hour or two have passed. You're like, woo-hoo, you know. Try to do that with this book once. Amen? You know what happened? Can I tell you, as soon as you start picking up that Bible, start to read, the devil, the demons will try to get your focus not on and say, oh, you don't have to read anymore. Start to think about the bills. Start thinking about your health. Start thinking about something. Why is that? Because he even knows, John. Amen? That if you're in this book and you understand the book and apply it to your heart, can I tell you, he knows you're going to stay on that path. Amen? It's true, amen. But here's his desire. Look what he says in verse 11. You probably thought after the morning service I didn't have enough to preach in the afternoon service, but Miss Julianne gave me two pieces of that cake, so you can blame Gene afterwards, amen. I'm just joking, amen. John gave me the second piece, so you can give him, thank the Lord for John, amen. So I ate his, I'm just joking, amen. The Lord... He's helping me. Look here at verse 11. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There was a reason that the psalmist put God's word in his heart. He didn't memorize God's word. He didn't just meditate on God's word so that way he can sound intelligent when he's talking to others. He didn't memorize scripture so that way he could walk up to someone as his friend and say, hey, John, let me quote this scripture to you. Miss Alma, let me quote some scripture to you. So that way he would leave and ultimately they would pat him on the back and say, hey, he knows the Bible. No, that wasn't his goal. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart. The reason I have meditated on it, the reason I memorize it is why? That I might not sin against thee. He put it in his heart. He put it in his mind. He meditated. He thought about it. Why? Because he wants to be on that path that God wants him to be. Oh, would that be said of us? That we would put God's word in our heart? Not for to please others, but we're doing it on purpose to, that way we can please God. He goes on and says in verse 12, blessed art thou. Here it is, as he's saying these things, and again, he sees himself as a wicked old sinner. He knows he needs help to walk that path. God wants him to walk. Blessed art thou. He's praising the Lord. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. You know what you'll find in your life, Miss Elma? When you start growing closer to the Lord, you'll see yourself as wicked as we are, and you'll see how great He is. Amen? And you will praise Him. You will just say how great God is. That song, I won't sing it because I don't want you to leave with my horrible singing, about how great thou art. Amen? Oh, can I tell you how great God is? John was just giving a testimony about the goodness of God. Amen? How God is so good. The psalmist is here praising Him. Blessed art thou, O Lord. He wasn't looking at himself and saying, look at me, how good I am. No, no, no. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. He knew he needed the Lord to help him. Can I tell you, we all need the Lord to help us. We all need the Lord to help us to understand His Word. You know, sometimes when you read in the Bible, some things are easy to grasp. But you know, a lot of things, you have to take your time. You have to slow down. You have to meditate. You have to think about that. Start praying about it and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to learn from this? Here's the psalmist is saying, Lord, teach me. You know why? Because his desire is to walk that path that God wants him to walk. And he was saying, Lord, I need some help. I need some instruction. Help me to stay on that path that you want. Lord, teach me. And can I tell you, that's wise to do when you take time, when you get ready to read your Bible, is the best thing you do is when you pray, confess your sins to Him. Make sure that you're born again. But confess your sins to Him and then tell Him, Lord, will you speak to my heart from your Word? I think, I can't say every time, but I'm sure probably the majority of time, if not all time, when I spend time reading the Bible, I will. When I pick it up, I'll ask the Lord, say, Lord, help me to understand your Word. Because it's a spiritual book. Lord, I need help. It'll be wise for us to do the same. He goes on and says in verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. That word declared means to make known by language. It means to communicate plainly in any way. To publish, proclaim, to announce. Here it is. With my lips have I declared, with my lips have I made known all the judgments of thy mouth. Isn't it interesting? Here it is. His desire is to know God's Word. His desire is to walk that path. And here it is. He's praising the Lord. He's asking the Lord for help. He can't help but to share it. Remember that day that you got saved, you accept the Lord as your Savior? You can't help but to share it. You want to tell someone. If you're telling me you got saved and you have no desire to tell someone and you have never had a desire to tell someone, something is wrong with what you call salvation. Because when you get saved, you want to tell people. You want to tell people what Jesus did for you. Why? Because you don't want them to go to the devil's hell. You don't want them to die and go there. When I got saved, I remember I had a desire. I want to tell people. I told those that were saved. I told those that were lost. I told family. I told those who were probably my enemies. I didn't care. I wanted people to know. Matter of fact, the pastor asked me at the church I was attending, he said, would you like to get up and tell people your testimony? I didn't have to. Sure. And that's what I did. I wanted people to know what Jesus did for me. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, when you get in this book and you start reading it and then you start seeing how great God is, don't be surprised that you want to tell others, that you want to declare all the judgment of thy mouth. Amen? Dude, can I tell you, God will give you peace. I have peace today. I didn't say I wasn't hurting. My back is killing me. And I know, Julianne, it's my fault. Amen. But my back, it is. My upper back is hurting. And praise the Lord, I don't really have a headache. Or if I have a headache, my back is covering it up. That's the blessing. Amen. You have another pain will cover up another pain that you have. Amen. So I guess if you're really hurting, smack yourself in the tooth or something. Amen. Or whatever. And
you got another pain.
Yeah. Ooh, that was a good one. If you were not here, you probably didn't hear that one. But oh, my. World War III, I guess we'll be breaking out on that one. So, but anyway, what was I going to say? God has given me peace within, that joy within, that even though I may be hurting physically, I am rejoicing. Amen? I mean, I'm happy. I am. I am really, I'm happy. Am I hurting? Yes. I'm hurting. I was hurting just walking over there. I was hurting walking there. I was hurting walking up here. I'm hurting even I'm happy though, John. I have eternal life. I have peace. Before I got saved, I'd have been months going crazy. What changed? Jesus. Amen. Oh, could I tell you that joy that comes in? What is it? You want to tell others. You want people to have what you have within. Amen. And that's what he's doing. He's sharing. He goes on and says here, verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Oh, could I tell you the following God's word that will bring joy in your heart? Will bring joy, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing. There is nothing that this world can compare to the peace and the joy that God can give. Nothing. Let me get a drink of water. Apologize. Give me a second here. That's good. Put a little coffee in it and it makes it better. Amen. But anyway, where was I? Oh, the joy and the peace that God gives, nothing in the world can compare. You could have all the money in the world, all the riches, and it will not compare to the joy that God gives in your heart. Because if you had all the money in the world, the chances are you're probably greedy and you want more. You know, sometimes that happens to people. People get rich and wealthy and they're not satisfied. They make their million and then they want two. They make their two and they want four. Then they want eight. And then they want a billion. And they never get satisfied. That lady at the well, can I tell you, when she came and she met Jesus, even though she was living in sin at that time, she was satisfied. She repented. She got satisfied. She got right. I'm sure she either left that. She probably left that man that she was living with, like, I can't do this anymore. But she was satisfied. Here's the Psalms is saying, I want you to understand that this rejoicing I have in my heart is more than anything in this world can buy. You know, there's people get excited about playing the lottery and they win. Joe, you know why I don't play the lottery? Well, yeah, but you know why I don't?
It's a sin.
Well, you're right, it's a sin. But you know why I really don't? Well, that's the reason. Because I'd probably win.
Just give it to the church.
No, you can't. You don't want to do that. That's probably what happened. I would win. I would win the Mega Millions. And you know what happened? It would ruin my testimony. Amen? That's why I don't play. No. The reason I don't play is because it's not right. Amen? Sin. Folks, but if I wanted millions of dollars, which I won't do, right? That's nothing to compare to what I get out of this book. Amen? I mean, I'd rather have what's here. What did the Lord say? What would you give in exchange for your soul? That everything in the world is, your soul is of more value than everything in the world. And can I tell you, when you get saved, this book is of so great value. That's what the psalmist was saying. If you're here like, I don't know about that. I'd rather have millions. And well, see, then that means you don't understand. Spend some time reading this book and you'll get it. And you'll be like, whoa. I was reading something last night in the book of Psalms. And I was like, wow, that is good. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, God's word is precious. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, bring that joy. Look what he says here, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That word respect means to regard with special attention, to consider worthy of esteem, to regard with honor. Do you look at this Bible as regard with honor? I do not like, when I have my Bible, I don't like to put anything on it. It doesn't mean I have never done that, but I don't like to put anything on it. You know why? Joe, this is God's Word. I don't like taking my Bible and putting it on the floor. It's not saying there hasn't been times maybe I have done that, but I don't like putting my Bible on the floor. Because I look at this as the very words of God. There are sometimes, because I guess I'm clumsy, I don't know, and sometimes maybe the Bible fell out of my hand by an accident. I feel so bad. I say, oh Lord, I'm so sorry that I dropped your word. Even though it was an act. Why? Because this means something to me. I will meditate in thy precept and have respect unto thy ways. Again, that word respect talks about special attention. Right? Special attention. Lord, I'm going to have respect unto your ways. This is what you want me to do. That means I'm going to respect. I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. Now, none of us are perfect, right? We all have sin and all will sin. What we could see from the psalmist is, can't you see that desire? Some people make the excuse, but we all have the sin nature. We're going to sin anyway. What's the use? That's not the psalmist that's here. That's not someone that desires to try to please God with their whole heart. And the reality is this, you'll say, Lord, help me. I know I'm not perfect, but Lord, help me to stay in that path. Help me to have respect unto thy ways. And he says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That word delight means take great pleasure, have high degree of gratitude of mind, extreme satisfaction, joy. I will delight myself in thy statutes. When Debbie and I, when we were courting, I guess you could say, we were getting ready to get engaged, and before we got married, and even after we got married, I loved apple pie. Still love apple pie. I don't eat it as much because all that sugar and stuff, and I'm getting older, and I probably don't need all that stuff. But I used to long for her apple pie. So you don't have to make any because I know I should watch what I'm eating. But she would make an apple pie, John. How much? You put, what, a whole bag in apples? How many? Almost a whole bag or more of Macintosh apples. Was it Macintosh? Oh, I'm about ready to drool. Amen. And you think about it. So it would be about, I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, it probably was that high, wasn't it? Go up a little bit, or is that too high?
It goes up a lot.
It was high, all right? So maybe, I don't know. Mile high apple pie, man. Oh, I used to love that. And then you just get it, and you had the crust on it. And then you would cut it, and then you get a piece. And you give that to your wife, and you eat the remaining five. I mean, it was just like, oh, apple pie. I was like, whoa, I love apple pie. His delight is God's word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Is there something you really, really like? And man, you're like, well, this is just great. How is that compared to the Bible? Do you really like this Bible? I will not forget thy word. Well, that means he has to put it in. Don't be surprised if you're like struggling, right? Well, ask yourself. Make sure that you're saved. But then ask yourself, how much do you love God's word? Is there something that you have every single day? I drink coffee, I think, almost every single day. I love coffee, right? I have a couple cups or something like that. About 3 cups, I think, a day. Amen. I'm not a coda because I think, remember, Don used to drink, I don't know how many pots or whatever, and Julianne. I don't know how you guys do that. You even drink it at nighttime. I think the first time I saw Don do that, I was like, wow, I'd be up to like next week or something. Amen. But you think about it, there may be something that's in your life. You're like, every day, oh, I want it. Is that the same as when you come to the Bible? I can't do without my coffee. But can you do without this book? I'd rather have this book than my coffee. I mean, is that your desire? I'm not saying you can't have coffee. I drink my coffee every morning when I'm reading the Bible. I'm not saying you can't have coffee. But what I'm saying is, I will delight myself in thy statutes and I forget that word. Is that really us? Now, if we're all honest, I think we would all say as we went through this, there's areas that I need to work on, right? That's just being honest. You're never going to walk that path like you should. You're never going to be where you... unless you're honest with yourself. Sometimes when I'm helping people, trying to help people, I'll try to get people to... Be honest with yourself, right? Sometimes you may say that to your doctor, right? Be honest with me. Tell me, right? You don't have to sweet talk or whatever. Just tell me the truth, right? All right, sir, you're fat. Oh, I didn't mean it that way, right? Just tell me the truth, right? Let me know. Well, you have to be honest with yourself. And I think when we're honest with ourselves, we would all look and say, you know, I have areas I need to work on. And then what are we going to do with it? There's the key. What are you going to do with it? God has just showed you that an area of your life that you need to work on. What are you going to do about it? Now, that's your decision. But God just showed it to us. And now we have to look and say, all right, I want to do something. And can I tell you, if you're willing to take that step forward, God will help you. But he's not going to force you. You know, God will not force someone to salvation. It won't. It's an offer. You can receive him or reject him. That's your choice. But please know that if you don't receive him, that means you rejected him. There's no in the middle. If I'm going to do it tomorrow, that means you have rejected him. If I'm going to do it next week, that means you have rejected him. But he's not forcing. And it's the same of serving him. He's not forcing you. To read his word, he's not forcing you. Now, if you're his, he will chasten you. He's not going to force you. Oh, may it be said in our heart, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message should help and a blessing. Pray that it encourage us to spend time in your word, to meditate on your word. Lord, I'm sure if we're all honest, there are areas in our lives that we all need to work on. And help us, Lord, to do what is right. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. I pray that you just bless in a special way. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today that does not know you, I pray before we leave this building that they would make it known. We ask these things, Jesus, in your precious name.